Hi, everybody. Cody here. You're about to listen to another episode of One Hit Wonderful World, and thank you for doing that, by the way. I really appreciate that you're listening. I like knowing that people are maybe enjoying this podcast because we're having a blast making it for you all. If you have any questions, complaints, we've been getting a lot of complaints about how good the show already has become. Sorry about that again. It's just sort of how it shook out. If you have any complaints, criticisms, suggestions, questions, anything like that, onehitwonderfulworld@gmail.com. You can email me anything. Believe me, I've got the time to skim through emails. So I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you think, what you have ideas for us going further. We're on iTunes now, and I believe iTunes is working with a courier system so that every 5-star rating, review, or subscription we get, I guess we are personally hand-delivered a $100 bill. Not even an iTunes gift card. It's just a $100 bill. So we could really use that capital if you want to give us some great ratings and great reviews. A little bit of housekeeping before we dive into the episode today. Episode 0, that little intro I did, I refer to Milli Vanilli as a one-hit wonder. They're not one. There are a lot of things that are dramatic and sad, but they're not a one-hit wonder. So sorry about that. To you, the super fan that's already invested in the show's mythology, I got it fixed. Everything's canon now. Again, you can take the fedora off. I caught the mistake. Episode 1, the Dexys Midnight Runners episode, I refer to the lyrics of Come On Eileen with a word that I shouldn't have used, and I feel weird that I used it. I could have just called him creepy or weird, but I didn't. I took it a step further, and I feel bad. I'm sorry that I used that word. It's not the type of language that'll be used on the show going forward, but there will still be foul language on the show because a lot of this music is fucking weird. And then today's episode, the last thing, there's a lot of background noise in this episode. It's not super noticeable, but it's noticeable enough that I thought I should call it out. We live in a loud house and a loud street, and honestly, we just don't quite have enough podcast clout to make requests like, hey, neighbors, don't mow the lawn while we're recording, or hey, house, have air conditioning. So open windows, wind's blowing in, Kyle knocks over a guitar. Let's just call it a collector's edition. These are little added bells and whistles that people down the line won't get once the show is all popular and refined. We're gritty and lo-fi now, so you're in the know. That's everything, I think. So thanks again for listening. Enjoy today's episode. Ooh, pause right now. Go listen to Dark Horse by Crazy Town. We all did. Kyle, I, and our guest Lizzie Gardner all listened to the album in full so we could talk about it more in depth. Do it. Oh, it is a work of art unlike anything you've ever heard. You will appreciate it deeply and to the end of your days. And it'll make your relationship with this podcast more fulfilling, you know, because you're following along with us. I'm sorry, I choked on the enthusiasm of the words I'm saying. So yeah. Pause quick, listen to the album, it's amazing, I promise you. Then pop on back in, and listen to the rest of the episode. Like I said, Lizzie Gardner's here, she's hilarious, she has some great insight on this masterful band. And I think that's it for right now. Enjoy the show, thank you all for listening, and here are the guys that sing Butterfly, thank you.
Oh God.
Yeah. We got so much to do. There's a lot of time left.
Tongue rings.
She got sex appeal.
Lady.
You make me go crazy.
Crazy. There's a lot of whispers.
Yeah, a lot of whispers. A lot of whispers.
All the way through. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. I guess it's true. Twisted and used up, knew a better life existed, but thought that I missed my lifestyle. Wow, I was living like a wild child, trapped on a short leash, parole to police vibes. So yo, what's happening now? I see the sun breaking down into dark clouds, and a vision of you standing out in the crowd. So come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make you look good.
There's a lot left still.
This is a new guy now.
Yeah, this is,
what's his face?
This is, there's Epic and Shifty.
He is not alive anymore.
Epic died?
He died, man. He died.
No, he's alive. DJ AM died.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who you're thinking of. Because Shifty is also still alive somehow. It's a long Wi-Fi password.
It's fine, it's fine.
Are you gonna be okay?
Yeah, it'll be fine. Crazy, crazy.
Come, my lady.
Crazy. Crazy.
Oh my God.
Come,
my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, you're my
pretty baby, you'll
make your legs shake, you'll make me go crazy.
Come and dance with me.
What an outro. So extended. Come and dance with me. Come and dance with me. Alrighty.
All right.
And there it is.
There
the,
it is.
The 2000 smash hit Butterfly from Crazy Town. Welcome to episode 2 of One Hit Wonderful World. My name is Cody Nelson. I'm alongside my co-host Kyle Kimble. Hello, Kyle.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I see you got some handwritten notes there.
Handwritten notes. Yeah, you guys got laptops. I got a notebook here.
That's impressive.
A couple of pages if you
yeah.
hear that. You hear that page turn in there.
That's, I really like that. It's yeah. very detailed. It's not just Kyle and I today. We are joined today by the wonderful Lizzie Gardner, a good friend of mine. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for actually suggesting Crazy Town.
Oh, you are so welcome.
I'm assuming it would have come up at some point, but I'm glad we're finding a way to make it episode 2. I just want to get out and say it. I love how subtle Crazy Town makes Linkin Park seem.
it's like the California version.
Yeah.
Lady.
It's that song, Butterfly, I know I was a fan of it.
I like it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's, like, overall, like, it's a pretty fun song.
It's got some charm.
It was one of those songs that was on the radio so much that you couldn't help but, like, know every single lyric to it. I personally remember hating it, but also having to like it because it was everywhere
yeah.
when it was coming out.
It was pretty ubiquitous, which is so weird given what this band is.
It is so weird.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's really aggressive looking aggro dudes, just like a revolving door of 8 of them.
Oh, God.
They currently, and I say currently because they're an active band. The album that we listened to, Dark Horse, which came out in 2002,
yep.
or no, yeah, 2002.
Correct.
Broke them up because I'm sensing a trend here. It happened with Dexy's Midnight Runners. It's happening again. They break up and just came back and released.
They reformed in 2007.
In 2007.
And then they said they were going to come up with an album, and the album was going to be called Crazy Town is Back.
Oh, okay. Where'd they get the
but
name
never,
from?
I don't know. But I, it did not happen. It didn't happen. No.
But what did happen, I saw, was that in 2015, they released album 3, The Brimstone Sluggers.
Correct.
Yes, which was an original name
yep.
that
right.
they had before Crazy Town.
Yes.
Okay. So they're getting back to their roots a little
bit. And also, if you notice the album art of the first album that they dropped.
Very similar.
The album art is the same, except she's wearing a hoodie.
Oh.
She's growing up.
Still has devil horns, though.
Still has
oh
devil
boy.
Horns poking through the hoodie? Or
literally
poking through the hoodie.
Through the hoodie,
okay.
Everything is the same. They just photoshopped a hoodie onto her.
I'm
not joking.
Oh, my God.
You know,
perfect.
I listened to this album, and I wonder how they ever even had the one hit.
Well, I mean, it's so different. The hit is
it's got
one
like
way, and this album
personality.
Is
it definitely it doesn't lack in personality.
No,
what it lacks is in everything else, in my opinion.
I believe what I write here. This is the first time in a while where I listened to an album that literally did not impress or surprise me once and did not contain sounds I hadn't heard done better in the past.
That's so accurate.
And I was really hoping this wouldn't happen.
It's rap rock.
It's on a list of things I hate about music, this checks almost every box.
Rap metal, I should say.
Rap metal, nu metal.
It's a weird mix of like you said, Linkin Park, but then there's like also weird, maybe like Everclear and a little Sublime mixed in.
Yeah.
It's really weirdly like, it's aggressive, but it's passive aggressive. It's passive aggressive rap.
It's passive aggressive rap. It's bad nu metal. How sad must you be if you realize you're making bad nu metal?
I mean, the lyrics say it all. The lyrics.
I don't think it's that bad. In the pantheon of this kind of music.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds pretty good. And I actually noted, at least during the first half of the album, that the, like, rapping is actually pretty decent.
The rapping isn't horrible.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dark Horse, correct? Or are we talking about the first album?
No, Dark Horse.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... I wrote down some notes, too, and a lot of them were just, number 5 is called Candy Coated.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yep.
There's a lyric that says, candy coated paint is like a ball and chain.
What does that mean? I wrote that down, too. What does that mean?
Does that mean that's, like, something they can't, that he's talking about pills, and he can't quit them?
You know what? Let's play that. Here, let's pull the chorus up of Candy Coated.
Oh, that, wouldn't it? That might have just clicked for me.
Oh, God. All right. So this is track 5, Candy Coated.
Sounds like Linkin Park.
It sounds just like Linkin Park.
Except for here.
It's pulling me closer to death.
It's gotta be drugs.
It's gotta be drugs. This album is low-key really depressing.
Yeah.
Really, really depressing.
Someone's going through something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And methinks
maybe one or maybe all. Methinks
it's Shifty Shell Shock.
I mean, he has it's true, it's very, very noted in the media. He has a long history of drug abuse. I mean, he literally was in a coma for an undefined amount of time in 2013.
How weren't they able to define how long it was?
I don't know, like, he just slipped into a freaking coma and, like,
whoa,
didn't come back for
that's
a while.
Pretty shifty.
And he's been on Celebrity Rehab 1 and 2 and
Sober House
1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I remember, I actually have watched a couple of those episodes, and I remember thinking to myself, Shifty Shellshock, you stupid fuck.
He probably has a parking spot in the VH1 lot by
now. He was so manipulative. There was a weird point in time where, like, he was relapsing, and he exited, like, a location, and he was giving... he was sending weird coded messages on MySpace to Dr. Drew, who would then have to, like... configure them and be like, oh, he's at a hotel now. We gotta go. And I was like, what is happening? And it just all felt like his recovery was a big game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like I've missed out now that I didn't watch this VH1 show.
It's okay.
Because you know who
he is.
I'm
a bad person.
And I'm just like...
Because I'm one of those people who watches those shows, and it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Because you're like, he's gone through group therapy, and he's really doing well. Oh, no! Why is he on the roof?
I'm so happy he's on the roof. but
there's a lot of drama.
There's a lot of drama in these songs. There is
endless
referencing to addiction.
Endless.
And, like...
relationships gone wrong.
And he's got, like, every nu metal... archetype for, like, a song. Like, what, hold on, what did I put here?
Well, and hold on now, because Butterfly is a pretty straight, like, hip-hop song. It's poppy.
It's also positive.
It is.
One of their most positive songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, so it's probably got DJ AM on the tables doing the drum break, right?
Yeah, AM on the ones and twos. I think that helped a lot.
For sure.
Him leaving the band did not help.
And it's got a Red Hot Chili Peppers sample.
It does.
Which actually garnered them some attention, and then they ended up touring with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
They also were in Ozfest.
Right.
In which he was subsequently exited from that because he drunkenly threw a chair through a window and was asked to leave.
Oh my god.
Oh man, but I think that's par for the course at Ozfest. Oh. But then they go from there and then bring in this new metal thing.
Yeah, and they have every archetype of, I found my note here, of like new metal songwriting. They've got the I've Been a Fool, Take Me Back song.
Mm-hmm.
You Hurt Me and Now I'm Gonna Be Very Misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Me Against the World, The World's Against Me. And Woe Is Me, I Don't Know If I'm Gonna Make It. There is a song that is like that, all of those on here.
Oh god, yes. Even number 12, I listened to it, and I thought, oh wow, like, this is an apology song. Like, this is a song that maybe he feels bad about something, and then it just goes wrong.
Yeah.
And he's like, but then I remember, you're a cheater, you're a liar! And I'm like, oh, you were so close to, like, having an actual, genuine
moment. But the Sorry, track number seven, Sorry, is exactly like that as well. Like, he starts
no,
the verses.
No, that's the one I'm talking about. Not 12, 7. Yes, Sorry.
No,
it's literally in the name of the song.
Actually, all of the track titles are directly pulled from the choruses lyrics.
Yep, yep.
Another thing I love about Crazy Town, I'm realizing, is that they say a lot of very tame things with the confidence of people that are like, oh man, I'm bad.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a great example from track 4, Twisted. The song is called, I'm sorry, Change. Track number 4. So this is the chorus. There's a great little choice bit at the end here. My life is twisted.
My life is twisted.
And it comes around again.
Wait.
My life is twisted.
I also have a weird note for that song that it says, mumbling in back, never. I don't know why.
It is so by the books.
It's like there is no... Okay, so we talked about how it's like a subtle Linkin Park, but there's no subtlety in any lyrics. Like, they're very, like, hitting the nail on the head. Like,
yeah.
I'm angry because this happened.
Or I'm sad because of drugs.
And here are the drugs that I take.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very... There isn't, like, layers or metaphors really used.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally I'll be like, oh, they're talking about jumping off a bridge. And he's like, no, I want you to jump off a bridge. It's like, oh,
yeah,
that's not
a
metaphor.
That song is called Take It to the Bridge. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like Sexy Bag, Justin Timberlake. It's going to be some kind of cool,
yeah.
You know.
Oh.
But no, it's about...
Oh, you were tricked.
Yeah.
But alas, Sexy Bag does not sample Crazy Town. That song... In particular, made me realize a trend that was happening. A lot of mood swings within single songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there will be the second... True. There's the second verse of track 5, Candy Coated. We're back at that.
Where can't get rid of it.
He says, I got regrets, but I'm glad I took the prize behind the first door. That same verse ends with, all my songs starting to sound like suicide letters.
Yes.
Whoa, man. What happened in those 5 lines?
What happened?
What happened?
What happened in the, like, the room that you read it, like, wrote it in?
They, like...
Somebody walked in, they're like, no, fuck you. And you're like, oh, no. I gotta keep going.
Oh, my gosh.
It just speaks to those bipolar mood swings that he's going through.
It's
living,
like,
a twisted, troubled life.
Yeah, it reads kind of, I mean, I don't know if I should say it reads, like, mental illness, but it kind of does.
It reads like somebody who is struggling to keep their emotions stable.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. They also
happened.
With an addiction.
Yeah, it's weird to also think about track 6, Waste of My Time, which is the token women-hating song on the album.
I literally wrote nothing for it.
Which is fair. This is what it sounds like. It's basically a fuck you to all women. But it's interesting, the energy of the song, very different from the rest of the album, which made me think maybe you can tell when he wrote songs high versus when he didn't.
Oh, that's probably
because
really
that song point. Seems like he was peaking pretty hard.
It's weird. It's weird that they the way that he jumps. I would actually really be interested to see if there was a weird pattern
shifty.
In the way that he like song speaks or raps, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a rap. Sometimes it feels like he's like, so today's the day. And that does not sound like a rap to me. It's like sounds like someone just sing-songing
like
their
trapped.
Sentences.
Yeah, it's so there's not a second of insight on these 12 songs where people are really trying to sound insightful.
It's like a 13-year-old girl's journal where she was like, this person hurt me today. I am so sad about it. What am I gonna do? Everything is awful.
Yeah, here's a choice quote from the tween journal that are these lyrics. Every day is so complex. Every day is like a test full of obstacles that feel almost impossible.
Oh, and let's be fair, I would have jammed this when I was 12 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really sure why I didn't know.
This band should be called Small Town High School.
Yes.
Because that's where they blow up.
Yes, yes.
This is what the alt kids listened to in my high school.
Oh,
I remember
gross.
Hearing this, and it was around that time, like, it was a weird song to dance to. It wasn't like your normal song where you're, like, jamming out, like... I remember looking around a room while this was playing, like, at a dance, and people, like, did real weird things with their hips. Like, it was, like, almost a sway. It wasn't, like, a jam-out song. It was, like, a weird arms-out, like, feeling the 60s kind of dance.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. There's a big difference between... I just remember, like, a bunch of white kids swaying to this music.
Yeah, that's what we do when we dance. We just sway.
Are you talking about Butterfly, or are you talking
about
the second
about Butterfly.
Album here?
I'm talking about Butterfly, and the second album, I would say, is far more... feels way more negative and angry, and that would be a lot more of the from the neck up type movement.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't... Well,
I did not recognize a single song on this album.
I didn't recognize
a
single song.
No.
Don't
forget the album art, Cody.
The album art is...
It's another Devil Angel.
It's another Devil Angel. Looks like, I don't know, the back of a novelty playing card,
it's
I guess you would
tattoo.
Say. It's a bad tattoo.
It's a bad temporary tattoo.
Harriet. Another thing I realized is in track 8, Battle Cry.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I wrote here, almost manages to be an interesting metal song.
Almost manages to be interesting, yeah. Musically is the most interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about the lyrics in the chorus. I think I heard the battle cry. Could have sworn I heard the battle cry. I think I heard the battle cry. Isn't a battle cry something that is invented so that everyone knows exactly what it is the second it's said?
This is a battle cry!
Yeah. Like, you never hear someone go, I think I heard the fire alarm. Could have sworn I heard the fire alarm. Think I heard the fire alarm. Like, that's not a thing that happens.
It's probably something else if you think you heard it.
I think you should play it, because I actually really, like...
I
started to hear the riffs, and I was like, holy shit, maybe this song is gonna jam.
So this is saying a lot. This is probably the most musically interesting song on the album.
Yeah, I will agree with this.
Yes.
Very staccato.
There's that neck stuff you were talking about.
What?
Once we move past the verse, it's almost cool. It's almost like, besides the vocals, it could be awesome.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
It's got, it's kind of got this weird, like, time thing going on.
Yeah. I can see that.
It sounds like they're actually trying.
Did you say, is that society? Can't be sobriety.
Can't be sobriety. No, of course not. The shoehorned in these references. So there
downhill
we go. That's a peak of the album.
That's definitely.
And so I want to, in contrast, play what I believe is one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Okay.
Track number 2, Hurts You So Bad.
Oh, yeah, put it in there.
Yep.
I want to say that's the one they put forward in the UK to try to make it a single.
This was the second single off the album.
It did not chart.
Do you know who does the guitar solo on this song?
I do.
No.
It's Rivers Cuomo, the singer of Weezer.
What? No.
Yeah. And on my second listen, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, the musical equivalent of a piece of printer paper does the guitar solo on track 2. Which is funny because the person who does the guitar solo on the beginning of track 3 is a person who's never heard of a guitar before.
What?
These lyrics are... It's just... I never meant to hurt you so bad.
Oh, God. Now I just keep thinking of journal entries.
Yeah.
Or like a weird love note sent to like an ex-girlfriend.
Like, this band had to have been on the top 8 list of so many people on MySpace. Like, that was their scene, right?
Yeah.
Well, but was it though?
I don't know.
Just because he was such a weird prominent figure, because of all of his tattoos and the way he was like a weird, one of those weird guys who wore crazy stuff and was noticed for the like visual.
Right. And I think it was all kind of bullshit, those personas.
I remember, like, he had the star tattoos on his shoulders.
Yep.
I love those.
Yeah, he was...
He had, like a dove flying in the air.
And he had, like, stuff, like, up on his eye or something,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He had jewelry. He was, like, one of those guys who wore leopard a lot. Like, I feel like he wore leopard. I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like leopard overalls or something.
But I think that they just did that. I think they drew attention to the persona so that they could, like, pull focus from the fact that they're writing really bad music.
I mean, it's... Yeah, really bad. I mean, let's go back to the actual one-hit wonder real quick here.
Okay.
And just talk about the lyrics of that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is a weird song in that it is... People did enjoy it. But it was, I don't know how to put it. I feel like it was because it was so weirdly catchy. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that a lot of their stuff is literally like, come my lady, come. It goes on and on and on. Like that last part lasts for like 16
bars.
It's a
really long outro. Yeah.
it's the same thing over and over and over again.
It's just perfect nonsense.
Yeah. And it somehow is like, it schmoozes you into like this weird place.
It's kind of spacey and cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna take a moment and maybe theorize about why One Hit Wonders work. It's almost like if the Dexys Midnight Runners album and this Crazy Town album are any example, I'm starting to sense a trend that maybe these are bands that were never really spectacular, but like, all of their mediocrities and they like come together in one perfect moment where it like doesn't matter and it succeeds despite itself.
Yes. I think that's a great way to put it. And it was also in the time of like, I believe when this came out, they had a really interesting video that went with it.
I can't find the video.
Really? I have a weird thought in my head that it was like a lot of cut, like weird surreal pictures.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it was, but I remember that a lot of it focused on like what Shifty Shell Shock.
I can never say that name.
Looked like his persona.
Yeah.
Was a big part of that music like video and like promoting that persona.
I did just want to point out that the cover for the single is a picture of a woman's back with a butterfly tattoo.
I did see that. Yeah.
Lower back. So.
Yeah.
So not in the center.
A lot of butterflies.
So more nuance in the album art there.
Technically, she does have a butterfly on her wrist. The first one.
The Gift of Game, that album is called.
The Gift of Game. Mm-hmm. Platinum record in the U.S. Sold 1 million copies.
Yeah, huge.
It did.
Huge.
And Dark Horse, almost 22,000.
Almost. So they broke up after this album, citing pressure from the record company to replicate Butterfly.
Yeah.
Right? I don't feel that any song on this album replicates Butterfly. I am going to say, though, that it was released in early November, early to mid-November, in time for Christmas, could have sold a bunch of copies for Christmas, but just didn't.
And, you know, 9/11 really shook everybody.
Are you gonna blame bad record sales?
Maybe it gave him writer's block.
I feel like they had so much going on.
Yeah.
If I can read into anything, these guys had a lot going on in their lives.
Yeah. I'm going to say you don't need to use the past tense. I think present tense is likely still accurate.
I feel like
accurate.
They have a lot that's still going in their lives, hopefully.
To go back to what Kyle said about replicating the hit, I disagree. I think that there is one song that tried.
Okay.
It's a bonus track.
Oh,
I listened on Apple Music. Could not find the explicit version of this album anywhere, so definitely listen to the clean version twice.
Gross.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But track 12, You're the One. Everything about this song...
Oh, yes. This is where they use the See You Next Tuesday word, but they don't use it like ballers. They hide it. They're like, God.
What?
What?
I swear to you, it's in there. I have it. It says Dirty Little in
See
this.
See you next Tuesday?
See you next Tuesday.
Whatever.
But they don't say it like they don't own it. It's like, if you're going to say that word, you better own it.
So here we go. Everything about this track feels unfinished. It feels like... This seems like a guy freestyling a Monster Energy baseball jersey at a party. But it's the same kind of... lyrics as Butterfly, like, ooh, you're a crazy chick. Let's explore this.
You're a crazy girl. Yep.
The delivery is more rapped. Like, the beat is more hip-hop-y.
Yeah. But I can...
But this is a far cry from Butterfly.
It is.
But can you not understand why?
I can see where it's like da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da, which feels more like Butterfly, where it was the same, yum, da-da-da, da.
It's groovier.
Yeah. And it's like... And then listen, look at this chorus. What a chord progression.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the chorus.
Yeah. I know it's hard to tell.
I'm sorry. That took a second.
I mean,
this has just got to be like a demo.
Yeah, but it's labeled as a bonus track. It's definitely a demo, but it's labeled as a bonus track. Like a little extra gift that Crazy Town's given us.
They just threw it on the end.
This first draft of a...
Maybe it was meant for the first album. I mean, it's so far removed from what's going on with the rest of the album. It's still hip-hop-y. Like, it's got a little bit of that, like, heavy, distorted guitar in it. But other than that, there's just a drum machine back there, I'm pretty sure, you know?
I am amazed, given what I believe the quality of this record is, that they made it past the release.
They performed out on this record, you mean?
Yeah. I'm amazed that they broke up months after the release instead of during the first week of writing.
Yeah, I remember listening to this record, and so many times it didn't sound like Butterfly. Like, it wasn't a unique sound. And even, like, I have number 9. I can't remember what it's called.
Number 9 is called Take It to the Bridge.
Take It to the Bridge, Jump Off a Bridge. It sounds to me like a slightly angrier Kid Rock.
All right, here's Take It to the Bridge. Not the worst start. Yeah, this... There's just nothing to make this stand out from all the other bands that do this, or did this.
Just wait for it.
The worst thing about this band is that they make me want to listen to Korn. Or P.O.D.
Makes you really want to listen to other bands.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take it to the bridge and jump the bleep off.
It sounds to me like a very angry Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Like a more an energetic Kid Rock.
It's Kid Rock and Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. That's that shrimpy little white dude
it
from
is.
Linkin Park.
The crawling in my skin guy.
Yeah. Oh my god. I can just see him like two-handed just yelling into the mic.
Oh gosh. I think there's another moment where they try to get butterfly replication, and it's in Sorry, but it's at the end.
Oh, that, the weird little Eastern melody.
Yeah, that outro thing.
Yeah. Do you know when that starts? Here, I'll jump to it.
I think there's about 2 minutes left.
All right, here we go. Yeah, so it's interesting.
Can you play from like the outro so we still get some of the vibe of what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Changes.
What?
So here's the end of Sorry. Don't listen to it.
Just don't. He doesn't mean any of the things he says.
He doesn't.
Not sorry.
Or does he?
It should just say hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think he's even sure.
No. He's not sure. So we faded out from the lyrical behemoth that is Sorry.
And then we get this pleasant surprise here.
Yeah. Whoa. Interlude.
Pretty arty for an album of this caliber and from this ilk.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
This seems like they left the recording equipment on and the people that came next into the studio just kind of recorded over their shit.
Oh, we're still running.
Oh shit, sorry.
Oh,
we should probably turn that off.
See, now, quite honestly,
this is cool.
I would take this beat. I would sample this beat.
Yeah, this is a sweet beat.
What are they saying over it?
Oh, fighting for peace is like fucking for virginity. So they come in and ruin it quick. But it is a nice little beat when we sit in it for a second.
They were doing so well.
They were doing so well. But I agree. It is kind of cool and unexpected. So good on them for trying at least once in the 47 minutes. I've got a review here from counterculture.co.uk. This is by a person named Rowan Schaefer. And they really love this album.
Really?
They really love this album. And they say, you know, it would be the easiest thing to write off Crazy Town as new metal chancers who got a freak hit off the back of a dying scene. Yeah. It is the easiest thing to do. We all did it.
It is.
It would also be very easy to write off Dark Horse. Again, we all have.
Yes.
Yep.
Safe in the knowledge that Crazy Town are highly unlikely to repeat the success of The Gift of Game. You're again correct. And the Ubiquitous Butterfly. Everything this person said is accurate so far. I know it, you know it. And perhaps the saving grace of this CD is that Crazy Town knows it too.
What?
So they call it more mature, consistent, and accomplished. But here's the best part. I'm not going to read all of this review because it's exhausting. Consider Dark Horse Crazy Town's Paul's Boutique.
What?
They're Insomniac, which I believe is Green Day. That's the bad reference.
Man.
But they say that this is... this is like the one that they make before the big one, I believe. Or wait, was Paul's Boutique the hit album?
What is the hit album? I mean...
License to Ill?
I would say it's License to Ill.
Okay,
it's
so...
License to Ill.
Yeah, so this is them coming out and making the album before their masterpiece. That's what Rowan thinks. Thanks.
Sure, and it took them,
13 years
to make it.
To make the next one.
And I still haven't heard of it.
But I'm sure...
except for the purposes of researching for this
podcast.
Right.
I don't know, I just thought it was funny that they were...
But are they saying that, like, this is the album where they, like, start experimenting before they hit the next thing?
Yeah.
Well, in that way, I would agree, because it doesn't sound like they know what their sound is anymore.
No, it doesn't sound... But what's worse is that...
they're trying all of these different styles that they think will make them sound good, but it doesn't sound like... I don't know, you lose them in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
we're speaking so intellectually.
Well, no, that's good, that's the point of this, is it's edutainment for all our honorable listeners.
Crazy Town.
They don't try, the sounds that they're testing out don't work. And the problem is, I wouldn't like what it was if it did work.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't, maybe this isn't my piece to speak because they're so not what I look for.
It just makes me think, like, what if they were in the recording room and they were like, you guys, this is the one that sounds like Linkin Park. Like, we're not going to say it. Like, but this is what we're going for, okay? And, like, for each song, they had, like, a different band that they were trying to hit. Because I have it written. I'm like, oh, this one sounds like this. This one sounds like this. They all have, like, a slightly different sound from the one before. And there isn't, like, a consistency of, like, oh, that's their sound. It changes every single time.
Hey, you're right. Hey, they're ripping off Korn now. Yeah, that's true. I did have that kind of thought.
It's produced by Howard Benson, and he produced a lot of this
new metal-y stuff. Yeah.
And he got a bunch of platinum records, but not this one.
Do you get? Is there a certificate for 22,000?
I mean,
do they not give out a plaque for that?
I think the dudes from Crazy Town like buy him lunch and are like, yeah, dude, thanks.
No, let's be honest. Howard Benson's buying Crazy Town's lunch.
Well,
yeah. The lead singer Shifty, that's not
Shifty.
His name.
It's Seth Binzer.
Seth Binzer. Let's just call him that.
Let's call him Seth.
Seth Binzer. His father is a very well-known person in Hollywood. Like, who actually did things with his life, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, whoa, like what are you trying to say here?
I'm trying to say.
His father is award-winning art director, designer, artist, and filmmaker Roland Binzer, who, among other things, produced and directed the feature film, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Rolling Stones. Concert film from the 1970s.
That's pretty cool.
That's
yeah,
a thing.
It is cool.
Huh. And his son is in Crazy Town.
I just am wondering, like, I would love to be a fly in the wall for recording sessions of this. Because, like, as a sound engineer, they're like, all right, next one's up. And, like, not only not understanding what they're going for, but being like, hey, this next one was about... I know, like, the last three were about drugs. Like, you don't have to say it, but I know. I know it was. Can we... Are we gonna switch it up? Are we going to have a happy... Are we going to, like, talk about maybe conquering fears? No?
Yeah, we could talk about...
No, suicide... Oh, suicide's the next one? Oh, okay.
We could
okay.
talk about how drugs make us hate women. Is that better?
That's better. I guess that's better.
How drugs make women hate us?
Sure. Just start recording.
See, is this an authentic, like, representation of their feelings, or is this trying to hit a market for this? Because I'm going to go ahead and say, I think this is actually... pretty authentic. I think
yeah,
this is honest.
I don't think they're playing
think
up this stuff.
It would be sick as shit if it was like some sleazy exec that came to the room like, hey guys, hey.
Yeah.
Drugs are a real thing right now. Talking about struggling, that's what this album's gonna be about.
We need you looking strung out.
I don't care if you're clean. I need you to talk about struggling and I need you to get back on there. That would be the worst. That would be the
that
worst.
That would suck.
They're like, listen, this is an album we're going to talk about rebirth. They're like, no! This is the album where you talk about suicide. That's what's selling right now, kids.
That's what's... But if that's what was selling... Ooh, man, I feel bad for that.
Well, Linkin Park was very much, like, along that... Those
along
lines.
Those lines.
Like, aggressive, depressing introspection...
Yeah. I don't know why. I really liked Linkin Park back in the day.
And they were way better than this.
They were
way better.
But I think they also, like, painted better imagery. I don't know how else to put it. Like, their lyrics were, it felt more clean, and it felt like there was more depth to the lyrics.
The only reason that I can remember any of the hooks on this is because they're the same as the song titles. And I was,
yeah.
And I've been studying.
Can we, just really quickly, just
please.
For everyone's sake... play the first one, Decorated, because I think we'll all understand what the chorus is for that.
Decorated flames. So this is the blazing opener.
The blazing. This is how they start, folks.
You know, it's a slow burn. It's been 2 years since Butterfly. They know we want more. And they're going to give it to us.
Doesn't this sound like Linkin Park?
Yeah. Hey guys, we're Linkin Park now. One of the better drumming performances on the record.
Yeah,
the drumming actually sounds awake. Do you think the drumming sounds pretty good, Kyle?
I think the drumming is among the best of the musicianship displayed here.
Decorated in flames.
Decorated in flames.
Flames.
Is this song about my room in seventh grade? All right. Decorated in flames. We got...
That's how they start.
I want to throw a quick shout out to everybody making background noise for this episode. My neighbor mowing the lawn. Whoever drove by earlier. Kyle, thank you for closing the windows at various points. I appreciate it. We might edit some of this out. We might not.
Harriet.
Yeah. Shout out to Kitty Cat Harriet.
Shout out to Kitty Cat Harriet, who definitely got her meowing on the track about 20 minutes ago. Okay. Final thoughts. Can we wrap it up in a nice little, with a nice little bow on it, what we think of this album, Kyle? Would you like to start?
Well, what do I think of this album? I think there were bits and pieces of fairly decent rapping, but that's almost too much credit. All of this music is done so much better anywhere else, everywhere else.
Yeah.
None of this music is any good anyway, like, even when done well. This album is completely forgettable. I would not recommend it to anyone.
We're 0-2.
I will say that you should listen to it if you're going to listen to this podcast.
Yes, again, help the podcast out by listening to the album.
Other than that,
it's bland.
It's just, it's bad. It's bad.
Lizzie?
I mean, I feel like I can speak just based on the titles, like what it was to me.
Okay.
What is it? Make, jump, you're going to jump off the bridge like I told you to. I felt like jumping off a bridge.
Yep.
At that point. There's one called Waste of My Time. That's what I think.
Yep.
Sorry.
I like this routine, this comedy routine.
But I also, I won't lie, there was a couple of lyrical moments where I thought, all right, like, I was a skull in the ground, no, I'm a star in the sky.
Yeah, that was one of the positive
ones.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't know what it means. I don't know if that means that he was dead and then he came back to life and then now he's dead again and he's Stardust. I don't know.
Shifty,
he leaves that to
Stardust.
Us.
Yeah.
He's, like, he leaves that mystery to us to
the
understand.
The best lyrics aren't solved right away.
It just didn't feel... I understand why it didn't ever hit charts, because there isn't anything epic about any of the songs. Nothing unique.
No.
It's like a bunch of bands that I have heard in my childhood all meshed into one over and over again, and it leaves no lasting impression. Other than the fact that I will give it to them, I can't get the Decorated song out of my head. It's been a while.
Hey!
I just want to do it all the time.
Totally. Decorated in flames. Does it make either of you like Butterfly less?
No.
It's hard to say because I am one of those people who, I acknowledge that it was a hit.
Yeah.
But it was never my, I'm a Tori Amos kind of person.
I think she did the guitar solo on track 8 or 9.
Did she?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm pretty sure.
I did like it. I actually like them now. No, it was never my like jam, my thing that I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to turn this up in my room and just rock out to it. But I acknowledge the fact that it was a unique hit, and it was like very sellable to a large audience. The second one, it did not make me like it less, but it made me think, oh, I'm sorry.
This
guys.
Is where it ended up.
Yeah. I can see that where their lives are going. Because what this was in 2003.
2002, this came out.
2002, their lives have further to go.
Yeah.
If you watch Seth Binzer's continued decline, it continues to decline.
Yeah, so this was a relatively high point in their lives.
It was. They
That's
were riding
rough.
On the curtails
of
fame.
First stumble.
This is the beginning of the end for Crazy Town.
They were feeling good. They were feeling really
good. Maybe
that's the saddest part of this. They wrote this album probably feeling like they were on top of the world, also feeling like they had a lot of pressure, and this is what they came up with.
I think, yeah, they were being pressured by the label, and they're bummed out about that. They're like, we love drugs, and that's bad for us. That bummed them out. And then they just released this really dark record that didn't work in pretty much every single way. I wrote here, this album probably bummed out a lot of people at LA Fitness in 2002 when they were looking for something to run to and ended up with this.
They don't play worship music at LA Fitness.
It doesn't seem like they're even trying, really. A lot of these songs seem like written by a computer.
I know in track 11, one of their lyrics was, it's beautiful to witness the end.
Oof.
I feel sad witnessing the end.
I feel sad witnessing the end.
Because you're literally witnessing an end of careers.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad that I'm almost done with the album, but I'm sad that you were talking like this. That makes me worry for you.
It does. This reads like a help me letter.
This reads like, yeah, it's a cry for help. And also,
if I were a therapist, and I would be like, let's talk about the stuff that you've done recently, and you just brought this EP, and you're like, I've been working on this, and you just put it in, I'd be like, so, we have a lot to discuss. Let's start at your childhood, like, right
away.
Are
you okay? There's one more lyric I want to talk about. There's actually two lyrics. On track 10, Skulls and Scars, Skulls and Stars,
yeah.
I don't know if he realizes how homoerotic he sounds. There's a line that says, my mind was in the gutter, my ass was in a sling, driven by destruction, young and fucking everything.
Okay.
It's fine if the lyric's homoerotic, yeah. I just don't think he knows that it is.
Yeah, that's where I would say that too, because his whole persona is like, I'm into women, and women are into me.
And if they're not, uh-oh, watch out.
Watch out, you get a passive-aggressive love letter on the next album.
Yeah.
Or I tell you that I love you, then I tell you that you're the worst.
I don't really even know what to say about it.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me.
I don't love how bad it is. I wish I did. It's not, it's past that.
It's just boring and
bad. It's just boring and bad.
Versus, like, hilariously bad or something.
Yeah.
And, two episodes into the show, starting to wonder if that's how all of these are going to go.
I want to talk very quickly.
Please.
About what it must be like to be in a band, especially this band, where this song, like, it doesn't come on often. It does come up occasionally, like on an old radio station.
And I work at a bar and it comes on a surprising amount.
What must it feel like to be the person in the band and to hear that? And to be like, what emotions do you think come up?
Yeah.
Like, emotions to relapse.
I wonder if maybe, yeah, emotion, yeah, relapsing.
Probably.
I wonder if they ever forget that they wrote it and then it comes on and then
yeah.
They're like, oh. Yeah, that's totally what that is. This song sounds, oh, fuck.
Oh, no, it's ours.
It's our song.
I don't think they're to the point where it could be like, oh, those were the days.
No.
Really?
I don't even know if it's those were the days, like, especially since a lot of them are, all of their stories are, like, very drug-filled, and they're, like, trying to get clean now.
Yeah, I suppose.
I bet you a lot of the times that they hear that, they're like, oh, I was really fucked up during that point in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I just am trying to think of, like, future careers. I know they're in the band now, but, like, even as a...
Yeah, air quotes.
Air quotes. But, like, this last Brimstone Sluggers album, I mean, who's promoting it? Is there an actual label promoting it, or are they doing it?
They're on a label. Looks like a label they probably created themselves. It was released on Membran Labels last year, August 28th. But their first two were on Columbia.
Oh, yeah. That's
so,
a steep decline.
Yeah. So it hasn't turned out super well for Crazy Town. Maybe they're doing great. Hopefully they're enjoying a little career resurgence. I can't imagine what kind of a crowd they have left at this point.
I mean, it says it in the lyrics in Butterfly that who they want to attract. They wanted to attract people who, like, had a lot of tattoos, fresh nipple pierce, you got me sprung with your tongue ring.
Yeah. Well, I can only hope that Shifty Shell Shock is getting sprung by tongue rings.
And
in heaven.
He's still alive.
He's still alive, that's right.
He came out of his coma, Tony. It's drug use is real.
It's drug use is, yeah. We're
I'm gonna wish him health.
Yeah.
Good health.
I hope that he's doing well. I hope that the band's doing okay. I hope that you're both doing all right. Lizzie, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, this was great.
I'm glad you had a good time. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
Sorry to bombard you with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a few things I'm in this coming fall. I'm in a Fringe Festival show that's happening this coming week and the next week called Snow Country. That'll be at Theater in the Round.
Sweet.
I'm also in three improv shows at Huge Theater coming up in September and October. Election which is on Saturday nights.
Cool.
Creature Feature, which is on Friday nights. Sweet. And Wednesdays I'm in a duo, or actually trio, musical trio called Shrieking Harpies.
Hell yeah.
Ooh.
That sounds pretty intense.
It's
sounds
really
awesome. Cool. Well,
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks
for coming.
Yeah.
And we will leave you with track 12.
Yeah.
Off of Dark Horse by Crazy Town. This is beautiful. And we will see you next week when Kyle and I take on, who is it? Who are we doing?
The people that sing I Melt With You.
That's right. We're doing Modern English next week. I'm Cody.
I'm Kyle.
This has been One Hit Wonderful World. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
When the shit goes down, I'm always forced to grow. Forced to see all the things that I still don't know. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's never too late to take a fucked up life to a beautiful state. Cause I came from the bottom, so I treasure the top. At times it seems your dreams are just a long shot. When the world's crashing down and the drama won't stop, you're chained to the past and you can't break the lock. Cause nothing could be more beautiful than watching the whole were cut and swollen. My soul was cold and grounded from the tears I tried to hold it. Overwhelmed by my emotions and haunted by the past. My head was overheating and my heart was in a cast. My mind was in the gutter, my ass was in a sling. Driven by destruction, young and fucking everything. Cause nothing could be more beautiful than watching the nothing could